You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. Amelia Singer was introduced to wine at a very young age and has carried a passion for sharing her love of wines throughout her life. Wine and cheese events in university and small tasting pop-ups for friends quickly turned into a career for the self-starter, who is now a successful television host, columnist, consultant, educator, and events host. Here's Amelia with her story.
I have a very enthusiastic wine-drinking European father who practically weaned me on wine since the age of six. So just like a little spoonful, or like a sipful even, of wine before dinner. Yeah, he tried it when I was six. Tried the same thing with my sister. She just wasn't interested, but I really loved flavours and, like, you know, thinking about what everything tasted like. I must admit, I think I probably only really properly started dissecting wine and being like, oh, I can pick up apricot and peach and honey. And that was when I was 10, and I did it with a Viognier. And my dad almost burst into tears. He's like, that's the perfect tasting note for Viognier. So, yeah, I associate it with family, really my dad. We always have bottles of wine kind of open for all family meals, and I associate it with anything like good music, good food, good chat. I didn't think I'd go into wine, but I helped run the Food and Wine Society at Trinity College Dublin. I really loved running, like, the wine tastings and, like, working with all the local independents. And lots of my friends, you know, in Dublin, they didn't know much about wine. No one really does it in university anyway. But I'd throw these, like, wine and cheese nights at my flat. And I'd just say, like, just bring a bottle of wine, any wine, even if it's just, like, a pretty bottle. Bring cheese. It could even be Baby Bell. And I just realised, like, even people who'd normally be like, oh, well, that sounds really pretentious, they actually had a great time because it was just this smorgasbord of fun. I just suddenly realised, actually, with wine, unfortunately, it does come with all these labels. And people either think of it as very elitist and pretentious, or they're like, let's just get pissed on three bottles of whatever. But it's like, why can't there be, like, a middle way? And I went to a drinks party, and it was the last kind of Christmas before you leave university when you have to decide what you're going to do with your life. And I was talking to a guy about wine, and I was ranting about this awful dichotomy. And I was like, why can't there just be someone like a Jamie Oliver or an Anthony Bourdain or a Nigella Lawson who can, like, really empower people and make people realise wine is meant to be fun? And this guy was really bored with my chat and basically said, well, why don't you do it then? And that kind of just got the cogs turning. And I went home Christmas Eve 2008. And I told my dad, I don't want to be an actress anymore. I really want to use my communication skills with a product that I think is really misunderstood. And there's not many young women out there talking about it. It's a weird thing where you're given these huge tomes in restaurants and expected to just kind of get on with it, and yet there's no real formal education around it. It's not like a Jamie Oliver, I can't bring it into schools. There's this awful thing where people are expected to know a lot and people judge your intelligence or your background, which is just so silly, because, like, when you think about other European countries, they're just brought up with it. It's just part of the culture. And, you know, drinking local wine, it's just, like, seen as, like, well, eating the local food, and they're meant to go together. I'm kind of hoping that now that there's over 512 vineyards in the UK, we can start building our own wine culture, and we're going to have more wine tourism here, and people can go out to wineries and really appreciate it more as an agricultural product as opposed to some kind of status symbol. It's quite strange, A, to want to go into the wine industry that early, and also not to buy or sell wine. That's always the first question people ask me still, like, oh, so do you buy or do you sell, or are you a sommelier? No. However, it was absolutely important for me to understand the industry very holistically for me to then be able to be like, right, well, then how can I then use this and make this world accessible to others? So I kind of created my own, like, business school program, where my first job was actually picking grapes in Bordeaux. And then, because I really just wanted to understand the product literally from the roots upwards. And then I did various stints. I did, like, a marketing stint with an importer. I worked for an online importer. I actually took a year. I was doing my wine exams throughout too, because I thought, you know, you need to get credibility. I then took a year off after I'd done a first stint of wine exams to actually work in wineries in Spain and South America, and helping out not only in the vineyard, helping out a bit in the winery, helping them with their tourism. That was super fun. Then coming back and doing my wine diploma, again, alongside jobs, working for a wine startup, which was a bit like Dragon's Den for wine, trying to help, like, small wineries get into the UK. So really just trying to understand all business models. Oh, and I had a brief stint at doing retail as well, which is important, like working in a wine shop. So that was really, really important too. So just to see how it all fit together, really, as an industry. But then as soon as I finished my wine diploma, literally the day I applied to be a sole trader and set up my business, Amelia's Wine. I started, I was like, how do I like get going, which won't accrue too many costs and that kind of thing. And I was like, how about, and this was, it's going to be 5 years ago in September. This was when supper clubs were starting to happen. Definitely pop-ups were getting more popular and, you know, London, everyone was a foodie. But I was like, ooh, well, why don't I do like a wine-centric supper club at home in my basement flat and call it Basement Bacchanalia? And I just started having a mailing list with just about 30 friends who either loved wine or food or just both and just wanted something interesting to do on a Thursday or Friday night. And yeah, I started doing them three times a month. I would host, do a mini tasting, like I'd choose a different region or theme. I would cook then at the end and we'd have dinner, like after trying seven different wines, and everyone could choose their favorite wine to have like with dinner. So from that, got consulting gigs, corporate gigs. Jamie Oliver then heard about this crazy girl doing wine supper clubs in her basement. So I was asked to be the wine girl on his Drinks Cheap channel. And then it was from there that I got the awesome opportunity to work with The Wine Show, which is now in 105 countries. And I started off as a researcher and writer and then one of the presenters. And that has really opened up a lot of doors. I actually think of myself more as a creative. You know, I love wine, but I very much consider it one of the arts. And so deliberately, creative site to be quite fluid. And so I've built my business effectively on a quadrant. And I'd say like a quarter would be media. So that's doing online stuff or wine show stuff. And we're working on a third series at the moment. A quarter is consulting. So it's a really ridiculous title, but I love it. I'm the UK ambassador for the California Wine Institute. So I basically am like basically a California wine cheerleader here. And I'm half Californian. So I love that role. Quarter writing, so I write for the Waitrose Food magazine and I also write for Celebrity Cruises and various things, and I actually work with them too as a consultant. And then quarter tastings and events, so I still do my pop-ups and supper clubs. I also work at Leith's Cookery School doing masterclasses, doing food and wine masterclasses. I've got some really fun, I like doing, I call it cross-dressing. I love to cross-dress wine with art and music. Yeah, and I work at festivals too. So like, it really depends on the year, time of year, what I get up to. But I like to keep, like to mix things up. And also, as well as just the medium of getting different messages out there, it's also different audiences. So, you know, people my parents' generation would go to probably, they'd probably see me in Waitrose Food magazine, whereas they wouldn't probably come up to my pop-up supper club, even though I do actually have quite a few of my parents' friends come to my pop-up supper club. But they wouldn't be seeing me online, social media, doing live stream videos from a vineyard, probably. So I think it's important if you are about making wine accessible that it is actually through a form of different formats. My grandpa also had this theory called the lamppost theory, which I find comforting. It might be too vague for some people, but I actually find it comforting on those kind of black dog days when you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? This is all a bit overwhelming. And it's the idea that life is a bit like Narnia and you can have really great adventures and you can have not so great adventures. But as long as you have your lamppost, which is like kind of your bastion, which is all about like what inspires you, your values, what you're willing to compromise on, what you're not willing to compromise on. And actually, I think sometimes it's a bit easier when you're a bit older because you've been burnt a few times. So sometimes it's easier to know what you are and what you're not. And as long as you always have that lamppost in sight, you can try different things and you're never going to get too badly burnt or too far wrong. I've actually found that very comforting. And sometimes something like that actually, which is, I know, more kind of a philosophical concept as opposed to anything practical, maybe hard practical, but I found that very helpful too on certain days.
Thanks very much to Amelia Singer for sharing her story, and thanks to Kieran Matthew Banerjee, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.